Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Put chemicals on the coins that keep your mind fertile. So you gotta wash your coins when you get them.
Kane is alive, Undertaker!
You don't suck because these people say you suck. You suck because Stone Cold said so.
D-Generation X is on top of the world!
Frustrated isn't a goddamn word for it! This is bullshit!
Welcome back, everyone! The Cult Harlan Classic Raw Review. We are on the road to WrestleMania 40, but we are here via the Ica Pro powered DeLorean some many decades in the past, reflecting on the wrestling future. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, Tom Campbell, and joining me to watch every episode of Monday Night Raw from its beginning to its bitter end, or ours, is the Clive Fuck of Cultaholic, Deathbed Jones himself, the rambunctious Jackie Orlando. How you doing, Jackie?
I'm blaming Tony Khan for my absence this last 2 weeks.
That we all, mate.
Yeah. For all those people who say that, any wrestling broadcast company is on the take from AEW. I stayed up to watch Revolution and I've been coughing for 2 weeks since. So
that was when you got poorly. Was it Revolution?
It wasn't even that poor. That's been the annoying thing. I've not been like unwell. I've just had one of those bastard coughs where I'll say nothing for hours and then someone will be like, how are you doing? I'll be like, well, you know, like the fella from the Fast Show. It's been that kind of cough.
Bob Fleming.
So I've been like sat here thinking, I'd love to be able to hop on the podcast, but it'd just be even more unlistenable than usual. But the tide's turned. Last night, I was just deaf in one ear for some reason instead. So...
You sound like you've got similar, like some ENT problems.
ENT? Isn't that a giant walking tree from the Lord of the Rings?
Him too.
Yeah.
He is your problem. Ear, nose and throat.
But potentially, yes. I have bad sinuses anyway. So, yeah, I was just all stuffed up last night. Just going, shard of death. Hit me with a big brick and just do us all a favour.
Because are you a bit like me? Do you get... Alex says I'm a little bit... bit of a hypochondriac.
In what way?
In the sense that, like, for example, I have some catarrh relief to take today because about a month ago it felt like there was a lump in my throat and it was sometimes difficult to swallow. Oh, pardon. And it was normally first thing in the morning after I'd slept through the night, and I was like, right, there's a lump in my throat, it's almost definitely carcinogenic, I'm most definitely gonna die, this is it now. I'm filling out a will, and Alex will go, do you not think it's because you have... And here, I'm going to really let you in on a little bit of Tom Health. Really let you in on a bit of Tom Health. The same guy who rang the doctors and said, do I need to book for my prostate check? And they went, is there anything wrong with your prostate? I went, no, but I'm 40. I thought that's what I had to do. And they went, no, is there anything worrying you about it? I said, that seems fine. I said, well, call us back when something's worrying you. I was like, oh, okay. I thought I just had to book at 40. No. All right, bye. I suffer sometimes quite dramatically from post-nasal drip.
I'm trying to juggle that with just the thought of you ringing up, being like, oh no, everything's the same as usual. I'm still shitting blood like I have for 40 years.
That's normal, right?
Yeah.
My the blood that I poo is a slightly angrier shade of blood than normal. And I thought I'd get it checked out.
Poo blood straight away. So the nasal poo drip blood. Anyway.
Always get checked. So post-nasal drip, it's when you lie down And normally it's if you have a lot of dairy and your body dislikes dairy, like mine has done as I've got older, despite the fact that I could essentially drink a whole cow in my 20s. But as I hit my 30s, I've just gone, oh, is that semi-skimmed? Oh, no, I'm weak now. It's like, it's crap. So I'll lie down in bed some nights. And this is the raw review, by the way. I'll lie down in bed some nights. And genuinely, it sounds grim. You can hear it dripping like a tap. It sounds like someone's left a tap on, but in my mind and internally. And I go, that's disgusting. That's my nose being all shit. So therefore, during the night, it drips down my throat. And sometimes if there's a lot of it, it just sort of backs up a bit like a motorway crash. And you have to gargle salt water or do, which is my favorite thing. And you love this if you've got no nasal problems, Jackie Orlando. I've got one of those...
saline.
Neti pot things. Oh, they're amazing. It's so disgusting, but there is something so deeply satisfying when you whack one of them up your nose with the saline in, you give it a little squeeze, and the shite that comes out the other nostril.
I've got one. It didn't work on me. What happened was my nostril just kind of like inflated like a balloon. Because it was. I think I filmed myself doing it, and there's just loads of saline and snot in my mustache afterwards.
That's the only issue when you have a mustache like you and I do. Is that you do spend a little bit of the post saline experience just picking it out of your mustache and pulling it out of your stash.
Yeah, as we are wont to do on any given night, evening, it's. The round off to a good day.
It is the round off to a fantastic day. I'll go to bed, brush my teeth, stick a tube up my nose and push all the gunk out. And then listen and fall asleep to the sound of the back of my throat dripping.
Fuck me.
That's my life, baby. And then I wake up and Jeff Jarrett's threatening to come to Cultaholic and kick the shit out of me. So that's just days, innit? That's just life, innit?
Oh, just cheeky lads having banter, innit?
Cheeky lads having banter. I love that. You would have heard that last week. Jeff Jarrett's just going to, apparently he's going to turn up at Cultaholic. And to quote Conrad Thompson, take me to the goddamn woodshed. Now, didn't even know he liked garden centres.
Chat me up, Jeff. You're going to take him to the goddamn woodshed or what?
Do you think I should? Oh, and apparently we're going to H. Samuels.
Hang on. What, for some, are you going jewellery shopping?
He said he wanted to get me a guitar necklace. I thought that was really lovely.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
So kind of him.
It's better than the kind of necklace we'd usually be offered.
By the groupies. We're back, baby!
Me taking 2 weeks out thinking, oh, you know, considering the state of me right now, that the quality of the podcast would be in the toilet. Fucking, it's always in the toilet.
Oh, mate, we're born in the toilet, we are.
Yeah.
What, your absence, by the way, has come as a great respite for a very committed listener to the Cultaholic Classic Reviews. Mm. And I never give him a shout, and that's on me. Big love to Ryan Chisholm, who's at Not Him Again. On Twitter, he does a Twitch channel as well, and he got into them quite late, so he's been binging them to try and keep up. But obviously, if you're doing one a week, then you hardly ever catch up. So thankfully, our little break means he is now up to date.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ryan Chisholm. I'm a fan of your sister Melanie, I'd been keeping along on Twitter and just thinking, why would you put yourself through a binge of this? It's hard work.
You'd be tired, wouldn't you, after like two?
Yeah.
You know, we're like a big dinner.
We are like a big dinner. Yeah.
We are like a big dinner.
Which reminds me of, I think it was 2 years ago, I was out with some of my mates, and my mate Phil, for some reason, was more pissed than everyone else and had three dinners in one day. And we were just sat around watching him in awe. So that's how I feel about our friend Mr. Chisholm there, just watching him just go, yeah, good innings, that fantastic.
Do you know what the dinners were?
I think he had a roast before we met him. Then we ended up, this was pre-pandemic actually, so we'd still go to Weatherspoons. And I think he had something else in Weatherspoons. And then when that was finished, he went, do you know what? I fancy sausage and mash now. And ordered sausage and mash.
What a unit!
He was just eating all these dinners and we were just watching him saying, are you eating again? He's like, yeah, I'm starving, mate.
Wow. Hmm? I can't get out of my head. As soon as you said three dinners in one day, I started singing Blood dries up. I pray fills my cup like three dinners in one day.
We always love the idea of crowded house just eating as much food as they can.
God love them. God love them. Anyway, we're here to talk about Raw from the past.
Yeah.
We are finally in 1997. What a year this is going to be.
That was
the reaction of the board of directors when we got to the year as they cracked open a tin of directors. January 13th, 1997 is the date of this week's Raw. Number in the boring real world, number one movie in the US is The Relic.
Ooh.
Familiar with The Relic?
Jennifer Lopez? No.
No,
go on.
Penelope Ann Miller, Linda Hunt, and James Whitmore in the American monster horror film directed by Peter Hyams.
Mm.
Based on a book from 1995, it follows a detective and a biologist trying to defeat a South American lizard-like monster on a killing spree through the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago.
I think I have seen this.
Mm.
It sounds like usual Saturday night video shop dross, doesn't it?
It is, and James Barandinelli of Real Views said basically that. That's his real name. Did well there.
Yeah, very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When all is said and done, the horror science fiction amalgamation seems like nothing more ambitious than a bad reworking of elements from Alien, Species, Jaws, and Predator.
The Holy Quadrant.
The right Holy there. Quadrilogy.
Yeah.
Of horror schlock. Number one movie in the UK is not horror schlock. It is Evita.
Still hanging in.
Still crying for Argentina. Mm. Number one song in America is still Tony Braxton, Unbreak My Heart.
Bloody hell. This is like Mariah Carey levels.
It's amazing, isn't it? Still keeping on, keeping on. And Spice Girls 2 Become 1, the song about safe sex, still number one in the UK. So there was a lack of babies in this particular nine-month period, thanks to the Spice Girls.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Spice Girls.
God bless you.
My favourite, Durex Spice.
Durex Spice?
Mm.
Or she's known in America, Trojan Spice.
Oh, that's a good name.
Strong name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just before this episode of Raw, on the 9th of January, BT releases an advert featuring Letitia Dean and nine other former EastEnders stars in its Friends and Family promotion. So it's basically all these former EastEnders characters giving themselves, ringing each other, because on the BT Friends and Family plan, it's cheaper to do after 6 o'clock and free on the weekend.
Hey.
However, the BBC are fucking livid because they gave them no permission to do this and they are threatening BT with legal action. The BBC subsequently withdraws said threat to sue after BT pays them an undisclosed five-figure amount.
Wow, okay.
It's one of those adverts where they're not strictly saying, oh, we're the EastEnders characters, but you know they're the EastEnders characters. There was a similar one. I wish I could remember what it advertised. It may have been insurance. I don't know. But it featured Mike Reed, a.k.a. Frank Butcher.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I don't know whether you remember it. He was skipping through a field going, oh, what a wonderful day. Life couldn't be better. And then he steps in a cow pat and he goes, oh, Pat.
Yes.
Oh, Pat, why'd you leave me, Pat? And it starts raining.
Yeah, I do remember that because it's like Smell of Reeves and Mortimer, the dog. Oh, my wife's going to kill me.
Basically the same voice.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Was it insurance or was it Oasis? I want to say it was Oasis, the drink.
Oh, it might have been Oasis. Mm. I'm gonna very quickly look it up on this. Frank Butcher commercial, because we're now Americanized. It was Oasis. He was spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was skipping through the woods, happy as can be.
Sunny, shiny, and birds are seen.
Life couldn't be better. And then he drinks an Oasis, and he steps in a cow pat, and he's sad because he remembers Pat.
I sent you something on Instagram yesterday. I'm not sure if you've seen it. You probably may have seen it in the past. Did have you ever seen the advert of giant haystacks and skips?
Pretty flower shapes.
When they're relaxing.
you. I like the fact he says the nice oriental flavour prawn cocktail.
Prawns, innit?
Prawn cocktail, the most 70s English thing of all time.
But it was the height of sophistication to have prawn cocktail.
That is true. That is true.
But that is fantastic. I am going to share that with Sam Driver on the Cultaholic Classic Nitro review. And because of the way that time and space works, you will have heard me showing that to Sam before Atkins introduced it to me.
Yes.
That's time, isn't it? We are
Time Lords, yeah.
We are the Time Lords. And Jack Atkins is the Lord of the Wrestling Observer. He is the Meltzer Whisperer for 1997. So what he does is that for this particular week, in the year of our Lord, 1997, he will cough and splutter his way through Dave Meltzer's Pigeon Scratch and tell us some of the big wrestling headlines heading into this week's Raw.
Well, there's fucking loads, Tom.
Yay!
Because I did my notes 2 weeks ago, I can't remember what they are. So
this is how Matthew Gregg operates on the SmackDown review. He writes his notes weeks and weeks ahead, so when he comes to read them, he's just pissing himself laughing at his own script.
Yeah. Ha ha ha, and Albert got the win, the big bollocks.
Ah, you've heard the new one.
I have, yeah. Never miss it.
Actually, that could be any episode.
So we're going to the Wrestling Observer newsletter dated January 20th, 1997. Obviously, we're leading into the Royal Rumble, so there's lots and lots of shite. So talking of the Rumble itself, Dave's called it the conclusion of the most extensively promoted non-WrestleMania event ever in the United States. WWF officials are expecting a crowd of close to 50,000 fans in the Alamo Dome. As of January 14th, a total of 28,800 tickets have been sold for about $300,000, and there's been a lot of paper as well in the local markets in San Antonio. So I'm just laughing at Tom taking the world's biggest gulp of water there.
It's my guitar.
He's like a big lovely hamster. So in San Antonio, they've been really pushing the shite out of the Royal Rumble. Not like a neti pod, actual pushing it. WF officials crossing their fingers, huge walk-up, yada, yada, yada. Basically, they think that hopefully they can get about 50,000. They've been pushing the number 71,000, and Vince McMahon thinks that because they pushed it out there that much, that the people in the dome will see so many people and be like, yeah, there seems to be about 70,000 people in here, so maybe expect some fudged numbers.
Well, thing is, right, even if they don't sell the whole place out, the fact is that 28,000, did you say?
28,000 sold plus more papered, so.
That's still for WWF at this point, that's still a great house.
It's like what we were saying before, All In last year when AEW ran Wembley, said anything north of 30,000 is brilliant for them.
And then they did like 80,000, depending on which councils you ask.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because, you know, the person who empties the bins, he counts as one. And his mate who dropped him off, he's another. But talking about the Rumble, Dave says, it's more than generally expected that Shawn Michaels will defeat Sid and begin his second reign as WWF champion, building to a match with Royal Rumble winner Bret Hart at WrestleMania in Chicago, March 23rd. Mm-hmm. Dave says, it's a sure bet that Hart vs. Michaels will headline WrestleMania, but he has a suspicion they'll throw a swerve or two into the Rumble show, perhaps ending with a disputed Rumble rather than putting Hart over as everyone expects.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they won't.
No, it's going to go perfectly. Shawn Michaels will be a fighting champion. We'll have Hart versus Michaels too. Hart will win. They'll shake hands and they'll be best friends.
How great will that be, where we have the same WrestleMania main event back to back, but in a very different way? You know,
yeah.
How exciting is that going to be when we definitely get to that point?
Yeah, with stories and other things that have happened.
Are you hearing like thunder like cracks from your microphone every
no.
so often?
Oh,
because like when you move your mic, it just sounds like there's thunder going off. I think because your mic's very sensitive.
It's sensitive like me. I'll stay very still.
Yeah. It's I'm just curious whether it is the cradle that is.
I thought you were doing a bit about The Rock then. I thought you were leading up into something.
Oh, cause... No. I was drawn by, as you spoke, there was like a boom, 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 boom from the cradle of your microphone.
You fuck off, microphone.
it's such a very good microphone that it is very sensitive and picks up all the good audio.
Oh, good little fella.
There you go.
So, after the Royal Rumble, according to Dave, there is going to be a pay-per-view which is called The Final Four, which will be headlined by a Four Corners match with apparently Sid, Sean, Brett and Steve Austin. But Raw will be preempted during the week of the show because of the Westminster Dog Show.
Oh, that old chestnut again.
Talking of old chestnuts, expect Bradshaw and Barry Windham to be put together as a heel tag team as a 90s reincarnation of the Blackjacks.
Wow. I mean, Dave's on the money with that.
I mean, that's going to draw so much money, isn't it? Really?
They are. Do you know what? If I had a gun to my head and they said, make some new Blackjacks using the roster that you've got, you bastard. I go, well, this is a really weird thing to put a gun to my head about. This seems a little bit silly. But if you insist, I'd probably say Barry Windham and that Justin Hawk Bradshaw fella.
Definitely. But at the same time, 1997, does anyone really want a new Blackjacks?
I don't think anybody wants the old Blackjacks in 1997, let alone some new ones.
No, they barely want a fruit salad, Tom.
Hey! He's done you.
Talking of fruit salads, Tiger Jeet Singh and his son Tiger Jeet Singh Jr. have some sort of a deal with WWF and both are coming in. So Singh Sr., now 52 and washed up for decades, in the words of Dave Meltzer, while in Japan this past week said that he and Ryuma Go would be appearing on the January 31st Toronto show. They aren't booked on the card but may make an appearance. WWF actually has pretty big plans for Singh Jr., aka, as we'll come to know him, Tiger Ali Singh, trying to make him an ethnic star for international tours in places like India, Pakistan, the Middle East, and for Central and Western Canada, where there are large Indian population bases. As Dave said, I've seen him wrestle for years, and he didn't strike me as being anything special other than he has an amazing resemblance to his dad. So,
this is a tale as old as time, isn't it? WWE yeah. trying to break in and make in this Indian-based star that they can use on these international tours. And it's here. If they've done it for decades, and this is another example of them doing it, they'll try it with people like the Great Khali. They'll try it with Jinder Mahal. They're keen just to find somebody that strikes a chord. They haven't done it with Veer Mahan yet, and I think that's a mistake.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember that. Oh, how long ago was it when Veer Mahan was coming for months?
Oh, God. That was. I think I have a feeling it was...
2022?
2021?
Oh.
I'm trying to think if he was coming in front of people or whether he was coming on his own. I seem to remember watching him coming from my spare room when Alex was out. Spunk. So I feel like it was post lockdown.
Right.
That he was coming. So I think it was 22. And what a shame that we didn't really get to see much of him after he'd come.
No. Someone we will see a lot of is Terry Funk, because he's been announced over the weekend for the Royal Rumble on television.
Yeah! I'm Texas bred and Texas fed. I was born to rumble!
That was lovely. You looked so happy.
And so does he when he does the thing. He does a little video package, little interview for the Rumble.
And shouts forever a lot.
He doesn't, yeah, on this one, yeah. He just shouts Texas fed and Texas bread.
Yeah, that lovely Texas bread. Oof, make a Texas sandwich out of that. Talking of Texas, they'll be doing an 8-man tournament in February in Germany to create a WWF European heavyweight champion.
Talking of Texas.
Nothing's more Texas than the Germans, Tom.
That's
tell you that.
Very true. I've said that many times to my geography teacher, Ms. Humphreys. This is an exciting moment. The birth of the European title. Because we know who gets it.
Yes, we do. And we know how he loses it.
And we know how he loses it. Come on.
Fuck God. Talking of European title fodder, Barry Buchanan was brought into Connecticut to train with Tom Pritchard. There's also interest in Mike Awesome, but the belief is that he needs more experience working as opposed to what they do in FMW, which is just dropping Masato Tanaka on his neck, basically.
Barry Buchanan, as in
the bull with the horns, yeah.
As in Bull Buchanan,
apparently so.
As in the father of Von Wagner.
Yes.
Is he the father of Von Wagner?
I don't know. No, the other one, Brooks Jensen.
Brooks Jensen. Sorry. Yes, Brooks Jensen.
Yeah. Were you just trying to get a cum joke going again there, Tom?
Crying. I'll have to wait now.
Well, here's an opener. Talking of cum.
Here's an opening.
WCW, there was no disciplinary action taken in the deal with Scott Hall and Jerry Sags having a fight the other week.
They were coming all over the backstage area.
Of course they were. Of course there was no repercussions from them having a fight because the Nasty Boys are Hogan's mates, but Scott Hall and Kevin Nash basically, you know, they have a big dick swinging competition backstage every week, don't they?
They certainly do. And it's funny, on the Nitro review, we've said the Nasty Boys connected with the NWO, and there's certainly some tension between the two parties. And apparently in the early part of January, it turns into something far worse.
Yeah. I mean, if the NWO was a thing in 1994, the Nasty Boys would be perfect for it. But 96, 97? Not really,
Your Honor. Not really. No.
We were saying before about the Tiger Ali Singh experiment, how it's a tale as old as time. Talking of a tale as old as time, Rey Mysterio Jr. blew out his knee on January the 8th in a TV match against Chavo Guerrero Jr. In Dave's words, with all the crazy stuff he does, isn't it ironic that he simply did an easy somersault that anyone could do, but somehow caught his leg on the rope and the knee went out? Oh, big fair play, sorry.
Is that in the Observer?
It is, yeah. It's just Dave just starts vomiting on the page.
As normal.
So the injury was said to have been serious. He had an MRI done over the weekend. The doctors examined his knees. And remember, this guy pounds his knees big time on a regular basis and simply ignores the pain and wrestles the next day. And shock of all shocks, both had pretty significant damage. So probably getting Rey Mysterio written out soon.
Yeah, very likely. Which is a shame. He'll be dogged with knee injuries and stuff throughout his career. At this point, you would think, oh, he's going so hard, he's not going to go for much longer. But here we are in 2024 in the real world, and he's very much still factored into everything.
Yeah, of course, yeah. He's evergreen, because they put that mask back on him and thought, oh, hang on, it's a license to print money. Let's ride this old dog until he can't no more.
Whilst desperately trying to find a new masked person to be the next one, and them all falling over. I think Dragon Lee might be your best bet.
Yeah, probably. He's very good. Talking of people who are very good. Public Enemy and Harlem Heat are currently working without contracts in WCW. There have been a ton of rumours about Harlem Heat going to the WWF, but based on what Dave's hearing, WWF has so much committed to guys already under long-term contracts with guaranteed money, they're second-guessing a lot of the deals already.
A lot of the deals.
Brackets, does the name Mark Henry come to mind?
Oh, bless him. So by this point, Mark Henry is, and we talked about it last year, he's on this whopper of a 10-year deal that is so watertight. It was almost like it was written with flex tape.
Yeah.
And that's going to see him as part of the company, whether the company want him to or not, for a long time.
And he won't really be much cop until like 8 years into the deal, maybe?
Pretty much. And then he gets his shit together and he becomes an all-time great.
Yeah. Talking of all-time greats, and I will... Yeah, this is a good one. Chris Kanyon is being groomed to be brought into WCW and do a martial arts gimmick feud with Glacier. Kanyon worked under the name Mortis on the German WCW tour to get practice, and the two have been working a match out together in the power plant for a long time.
Oh, they've been working on one match together for a long time.
Just one match, yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a worry. The Glacier experiment has been interesting to watch that week to week with Sam on the Nitro review.
Yeah.
In the sense that the presentation is fantastic. Mm. But I don't think they really wrote much beyond a first chapter. So Glacier coming in, I guess, is hopefully the second chapter.
Yeah. I mean, blood does run cold, though, Tom.
It does run very cold. Especially under the tap.
Talking of blood and taps, we go over to ECW. So the first ECW arena show of 1997 was on January the 11th, and it included a surprise appearance from a masked Rick Rude. So it drew a packed house, an estimated 1,400 fans, with another 300 turned away at the door. Rude wore the mask the entire time he was backstage and never admitted to anyone in the back who he was, although the vast majority of the wrestlers figured it out because it's Rick Rude.
And he was stood there gyrating with his arms behind his head.
Yeah. And I remember, I've seen this angle before, and you can just tell the mask because he's got like, he is basically, if you took like a 1980s handsome tough and drew him, it's Rick Rude. Big blocky head, mustache. He's even got a fucking anchor tattoo. And it's just all that under a mask. You're like, it's clearly Rick Rude there.
You're right, Rick.
So it's like, I don't know what you're on about. Yeah. But Rude has been rumoured to be headed to the WWF when his disability insurance deal with Lloyds of London runs out. The rumours within WWF saying it would be late spring. However, WWF officials have continually denied these rumours. Those close to Rude insist that Rude will never wrestle again due to the broken back suffered in a match at the Fukuoka Dome against Sting on May 1994. Herniated his disc in his neck, destroyed his once impressive work rate, according to Dave. Paul Heyman said that the masked wrestler wouldn't ever wrestle in ECW, but would be making more appearances as a regular performance leading up to the proposed ECW pay-per-view. But whatever's going on, you know, Rude to WWF looks like it's on the cards.
And the Rude that we get isn't really the Rude that we know, which is a shame. No. We get something very different from Ravishing Rick Rude, and it's a shame because it would have been, had he been healthy, it would have been quite nice just to have had him as like a legend type character that comes in and just gives it one more go, a bit more grizzled but still ravishing. You know, you could have, that would have been a good little Indian summer if his back was up to it.
But instead, he's basically dad to a pair of mouthy twats.
Basically, he's dad to mouthy twats.
Yeah. Talking of dad, we're going back to Terry Funk again. Come
yes.
on. He is building as Dave said, sorry, he's in building to his last chance of becoming a world champion at ECW, which is tentatively scheduled as the co-feature of the upcoming pay-per-view. One last ECW bit, and then I've got two more bits, and then we can get into Raw. So, just an interesting tidbit from 1997. BWO t-shirt sales are now accounting for more than 40% of total ECW merchandise, and ECW does amazing per-head merchandise business to begin with. So, I mean, you can still get BWO merchandise today.
Oh my god, yeah, it's still big money.
A parody of something is selling absolute bucket loads. It shows how hot the NWO and everything associated with it was. No surprise you had the LWO then, the LWO now, Bullet Club, NWO Red. Just anything kind of hinting at that will sell shitloads.
I'd one of my favourite Desert Island Graps during lockdown was with Brian Heffron, was with the Blue Meanie.
Oh.
Because it was nearly 3 hours long. We just went the distance, and he was such a lovely guy to chat to, and we're friends on Facebook, so he loves, you know, I get to see him going out and having a cheeky pint, you know, when he's not doing anything. He's just like a lovely normal bloke, and I want to find a reason to have a pint with him again.
Yeah,
I like him. I like Brian. Hi, Brian.
Someone you'd like to have a pint with? Vampiro turned down.
Oh, yes, please.
He turned down.
Play my fucking music.
Well, not only his music, he turned down a major soap opera role in Mexico, apparently because the part they wanted him to play was that of a border patrol officer, and he thought it would get him heat. And talking of heat, the last bit, USWA, Sir Mo teased the idea of a face turn as the main television angle. Mo said he was fed up with the Nation of Domination because they'd given everyone a push and a name, but not him. Later in the show, he called out Mabel and acted like he wanted to make up with him, and the two hugged. But it was a ruse, as the Nation of Domination members there all attacked Mabel, and they gave Mo the new name Sir Mohammed, and then Mo said that Mabel's new ring name would be Big Dumb Mabel. So they...
It's all happening on USWA.
Oh, I just love the fact that I like the idea of the Nation of Domination across two promotions, because obviously you've got Tracy Smothers and the Nation of Domination in the USWA as well. But that's everything for the Observer. Nice bit of bollocks at the end.
I want to share my sort of 3 degrees of separation from Sir Mo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm friends with Lindsay and Brian Bell, who run Contract Pro Wrestling in Newcastle. So they're a wonderful wrestling school, and they do their own wrestling shows and events now. Lots of nice talent from around this neck of the woods have come through there. But they have worked, they're doing great things, and I'll give them a shout because they're working alongside a bunch of other wrestling companies around the world. One of those, it's part of like a combination called the OIWA, which is like a series of wrestling companies coming together. And they recently went abroad. I'm trying to find the name of the company that they worked for. They flew out like 5 or 6 of the Contract Pro Wrestling guys to go and do their first ever dates in America for the company that is run by Sir Mo.
Very nice.
So he's a promoter in the States. I want to say they're Pro Wrestling Soul. I want to say. I don't want to get it wrong and misquote them. So I'm going to... I don't think they are called that. Hang on. What are they called? I'll edit some of this out. It's fine.
No, keep it all in.
It's gold. Sorry, I'll keep it all in.
It's gold, baby. It's gold.
Pro Wrestling Soul. They're called Saw Pro Wrestling. Saw Championship Wrestling. That's the one. And they put on their show Saw Mania recently, and a bunch of great Geordie young talent want to fight over there. And what a great experience for them. Big box tick, their first international wrestling shows. And it's all put together by Samo, who's a lovely lad for all intents and purposes. So good lad, Samo.
Talking of 3 degrees of separation, I was telling Sean that through you beefing with Jeff Jarrett, I've now got a 3 degrees of separation with Taylor Swift. And then I told Aidan Gibbons recently that I've also got, I think, 2 degrees of separation from Adolf Hitler. So
go on.
So, road I grew up on, my sister lives in the very next road. Her neighbour when she moved in was an elderly German woman called Inga. Lovely woman, obviously fled during the war. But as a young girl growing up in Nazi Germany, she was part of the female version of the Hitler Youth and met Hitler.
Shit.
So I've had many conversations with someone who's met Hitler. And I was just like,
ow.
And I told Aidan the other day, he just went, you can fuck right off.
He's just jealous. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, classicacultaholic.com, share your 3 degrees of separation with somebody.
Yeah.
We might, if we remember, we might read them out next week.
Yeah. Anyway. So we've got Mo, Hitler, and Taylor Swift so far.
What a dinner party that is. I know who's singing. That's right. Mo.
Yeah. His name's Mo and his name's not Joe.
we all heard the WrestleMania 10 rap.
Oof.
We got one more match. This one's in the bag. 10 men in the ring for a 10-man tag. Right, let's... And that was the match that got scrapped from WrestleMania 10, but it's immortalized in the WrestleMania rap. Anyway, stop distracting me. January 13th, 1997. Here we go. But before we get to Raw...
Ooh.
Shotgun Saturday Night happened.
Ooh.
So here's some... I watched Shotgun. So you don't have to.
How was it this week?
Not as good.
No.
Confusing as fuck. And a segment that left me very confused by the end of it.
Mm.
So it starts with Honky Tonk Man sat with a bloke and he was getting his shoes shined in New York. Honky Tonk Man plays a very important part of this week's episode of Shotgun Saturday Night. So already, 2 weeks in, it's not cool anymore. We're in the All-Star Cafe in New York City. The Sisters of Love. Remember them from last week?
Yes.
Well, they're not here this week because they got arrested for solicitation. But don't worry. A lastminute.com replacement has turned up in the Headbangers.
Oh, okay.
And they'll be wrestling another time. Diesel beats Mark Mero in a match that features Razor Ramon, The Rock, Rocky Maivia, Honky Tonk Man, and a bunch of shenanigans.
Mm.
So this was a very convoluted bit. Mero blamed... So Honky Tonk Man comes out while the match is in progress, and he's going, oh, Sable, hey, how about me and you? How about I become your manager and all this? And Sable's like, get away, you weird old man. And this apparently distracts Mero, which leads to him losing to Diesel. After the match, he blames Sable for his loss, and he storms out, leaving Sable on her own, very upset. We see then Razor Ramon stalking Sable, going, hey, Chico, I'm the fake Razor. Rocky Maivia runs out and makes the save and looking out for Sable. What a good, young, handsome man that man is. He'll run the company one day.
An upstanding citizen.
Yes. He grabs Razor by the head and says, off is the direction that you can fuck, and sends him flying out of the ring. Mero comes back and he is livid because he's just convinced that Rocky is just trying to hit on his wife. So Rocky and Mero got into it here a little bit of a pull apart. Jobs are good him. Anyway, confusing bit, but I think that all made sense.
And unfortunately, the beginning of the end for Mark Mero, really.
Beginning of the bastard end for the wild man, at least.
Yeah.
Got it for another year, don't you worry.
Yeah.
Farouk beats Savio Vega.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd interviews some dweebs in the crowd during the match. Now, Sonny is in a segment where... she reveals she's going to introduce us to the new man in her life.
Mm.
We go to Sunny's boudoir, where she is on the bed, waiting for this man to appear. And through the door doesn't come a man. Comes a man in a fucking life-size Elmo costume.
Oh.
Tickle Me Elmo was the big toy in this particular point in 1997. What proceeds to happen here? There's no other way to really describe it to you, Jack Atkins. Sonny starts fucking Elmo. It's all very like lights on, lights off implied that Sonny and Elmo are just having full-on sex. And that's the segment.
Isn't Elmo meant to be like 3 years old?
Now, they get round this by saying that this is Elmo's cousin, like, Jeff Elmo. Because if memory serves, he comes in, it's like, oh, hey, Sonny! But it's like a high-pitched voice, but it's clearly not Elmo.
Oh, so it's Gilbert Gottfried under the suit.
Gilbert Gottfried under the suit. Probably Vince under the fucking suit. Yeah, so if you want something really weird to watch, seek out the second episode of Shotgun Saturday Night, because it features Sonny having sex with Elmo. Wrestling. But don't worry if you've got a rock-hard boner from that, because here's the Honky Tonk Man and Todd Pettingill. They sing a song, which is like a bit of... It's like a Honky Tonk Blues type song. But throughout the entire thing, Honky Tonk Man's mic doesn't fucking work. So we just hear Todd and Honky singing into a mic that isn't on. It's bloody awful.
Fuck me.
So bad. It's so bad! Rocky Maivia then beats Fake Razor, based on what happened a little earlier on.
Yeah.
We go outside. Todd Pettingill is talking about how great housing is in New York City. And he shows us a cardboard box house that somebody has placed in the street. And from the box emerges Nikolai Volkoff. Apparently he's homeless now. Yeah.
I need to see that. Why? But I can't get my head around this because... Nikolai Volkoff doesn't come back in until like the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania 17, does he?
And he's homeless in New York.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. Jesus Christ.
We finally get the Headbangers.
Hey!
Yes, they're facing Doug Furness and Phil LaFon for about 4 minutes, right? It's not a short match, but the match as it's in progress is happening as Shotgun's coming to an end. So we fade out from the All-Star Cafe as Vince goes, we'll bring you the rest of this match next week. We're out of time. Goodbye. As they're like halfway through a lockup. And that's Shotgun Saturday Night.
Jesus Christ.
It's fucking awful, mate.
I think I kind of need to watch that. It sounds awful.
You need
it
to watch it.
It fucking awful.
For the Elmo bit especially.
I mean, I'm overdue a wank. What can I say?
Why? if you're gummed up, that'll ungum you.
Talking of gums, take your Cathar medicine.
All right.
That was like four fingers, Jesus Christ.
I beg your pardon.
Oh.
Only team of trousers. Tom watches Superstars this week.
No wonder you're ill.
I watched a lot of wrestling.
Talking of a lot of wrestling as well, I did look ahead. I think we've got two more episodes of Raw being 45 minutes long, Tom.
But then when will I see my wife?
Never, Tom.
You will never see your wife.
It never ends.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Superstars this week. I might find a way to truncate these, I think. Goldust beats The Executioner.
Yay.
Cheers. Hector Garza, he beats TL Hopper. Well done. Ahmed Johnson does an interview. He's basically going to batter Farouk at the Rumble. They're having a match.
Yeah, into that.
Rocky Maivia beats Dr. X, a.k.a. Handsome Tom Pritchard.
That sounds like a self-pen nickname. He's like, oh, everyone's calling me Handsome Tom now.
Everyone's calling me Big Man.
Everyone's calling me Shagger.
Shagger Pritchard. Bret Hart beats Shagger Sultan by DQ when the Iron Sheik trips Bret. This brings out Steve Austin to beat the fuck out of Bret and fucking Pillmanize him.
Fantastic.
Chair on the leg. Whoopah. So it does give us a bit of context as to why Bret is in a particular shape on this week's episode of Raw. Because the night before, when in the timeline, he got Pillmanized by Steve Austin on Superstars.
I like how feral Steve Austin is at the moment.
He's just feral, isn't he? He's like you if you won the lottery.
Pretty much, yeah.
Except you wouldn't be in public.
No, but I would be pillmanizing people.
You fucking would, wouldn't you?
Just go around the world naked, just have a roast chicken and a steel chair.
That's the title of your bloody autobiography, that is.
Oh, God, aye.
Anyway, to Raw we go, landing on the Raw mountain. Shawn Michaels joins us live from San Antonio in the wake of Pete being attacked by Sid. I guess he's staying in San Antonio because now no one's there to wipe Jose Lothario's ass.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Road Dogg might do it because he was there getting something signed by Shawn Michaels by the looks of it.
He would, but the hands on the clock are spinning too slow. So we're going to be checking in with Sean, who's having a big old knees up in San An. Plus, we're going to hear from Bret Hart. He wants to win the Rumble, despite run-ins with Steve Austin. His focus is La Rumbly. And tonight, we have got Undertaker taking on Crush. And look at this, predating their match built around dog shite by 3 years. It's Rocky Maivia versus the British Bulldog.
Match built around dog shite. Oh, that's a fucking SmackDown feud, isn't it?
Hell yeah! That's not a bit. That's a real thing. Rock, in 3 years' time, will rock bottom British Bulldog into dog shite. He will feud with Bulldog and be so fed up of working a feud with Bulldog that the moment he wins halfway through the show on WWF No Mercy 1999, he'll come back out and start his next feud. He's not going to wait a week. I want to move on from Bulldog as quick as I fucking can.
Bulldog's like, I've got all this poo on me back now.
Sort out yourself. No.
No.
Don't want to. I want to eat it.
I didn't get any on my jeans today. I just bought these. Lovely.
I'll be all right. For Breeze them later. Tom, Tom's broken the washing machine by trying to wash his coins in it again.
He sucked about the fruity the other day.
They put chemicals on the coins that keep your mind fertile. So you gotta wash your coins when you get them. I don't think they do. Don't think they do, Tom. Oh, they do, Davey. The government. I read it in a newsletter. The government wouldn't tell you that.
Tom, you don't even wash your vest. Why are you washing coins?
Because the government are trying to hypnotise us. That's right. The latest part of the Tom Billington canon is he's a conspiracy theorist.
Who washes his coins.
No. Oh, I used to do that. I used to put all my money from WWF in the washing machine. But then a friend of mine got arrested for money laundering and I was worried I'd get in trouble next.
One time I washed over chocolate coins and they melted and I was really sad.
I washed it with our Tom's white vest. He was fucking furious. Oh, there's all this dog shit on my vest.
Oh, no, that's not shit. That's chocolate. The whole shit's on me back. It's fine.
No, it's all right, Tom. Don't worry. It's just chocolate. Look. Oh, wait, hang on. That is shit. Oh, no. I'm giving you the wrong coins. Did you clean them? Does the government can't track us?
That's why he doesn't have his Sky cards. Like, you never find me, you bastard.
I've learned that if I put this Holiday Inn key card in, slightly to the left, I can get BBC One and Sky 2. They'll never find me. He draws his blinds at 6 p.m. so the government radars don't don't look into his window. Government want to know what I'm doing. I unplug my phone.
Goes around the estate shooting phone boxes with his rifle.
That's how they track you.
Through BT.
Through BT.
Bloody terrorists. That's what yeah. BT stands for.
That's what it stands for, bloody terrorists. How is no one else seeing this? My third eye is squeaky clean. Read it in a newsletter. Anyway, tag match to open Raw this week. It is Hunter Hurst Helmsley and Jerry the King Lawler taking on Mark Mero and Goldust. This has been several weeks in the making.
Yeah.
Vince and Honky Top Man are on comms. What a treat for us all. Fucking Honky Mania this week. He was all over Shotgun, ruining everything. And now he's on Raw this week.
He's the hot new star of 1997, Tom.
He truly fucking is. Yeah. Honky's promising to be at the Rumble looking for that new talent. Honky Tonk Man is wearing rhinestone denim with Mount Rushmore airbrushed on it.
A timeless look, Tom. It is. He's a classy man.
It is a look, that is for sure. We recap of the disagreement between Sable and Mero going into this match. But the focus of the match is Goldust, who is desperate to get a Jerry Lawler and Hunter, but Mero calms him down at the very beginning. Mero is bopping Lawler and Helmsley with those golden glove punches as a little tease for what's to come.
Marvellous.
I wrote marvellous in my notes. This is otherwise a slow one that doesn't really get out of second gear. Honky says he has his eye on Helmsley and a few other people, including McMahon. He has his eye on McMahon as well for a candidate to manage.
What? Imagine an alternate timeline with Honky Tonk Man managing Vince McMahon. Oh, gee, that's not.
I feel like if you put my GM mode on automatic for about 10 years, you'll eventually have that.
Definitely, yeah.
Helmsley leaves Lawler high and dry for a tag whilst Goldust is in control. Lawler loads up his fist with a weapon and clocks Mero. Commentary don't see this and don't call it, but he has like the old white brass knuckles.
Yeah, because
bops him.
You see him putting it back into his tights, he's shouting down the camera. He's like, don't focus on me. I've done nothing wrong. I'm Lovely Gerald.
Lovely Gerald.
He's done nothing wrong.
Ding. Jerry Lawler's famous babyface character, Lovely Gerald. Mero makes a hot tag to Goldust. He finally gets some offense in on Hunter. He's been clamoring to get his hands on Hunter. Hunter gets tied in the ropes, Andre the Giant style. Goldust punches and chokes him. This is really good. The referee, however, can't break him up. Eventually, due to the utter carnage of the match that has gone at 2 miles an hour for most of it, the ref has thrown the whole thing out. Non-finish.
What a shit fucking match. I hated this. I counted. There was no actual wrestler moves for 13 minutes until Mark Mero did a head scissor. It was just punching and kicking. It was a 1972 house show. They did the spot. The heels did this spot twice in the same match. It was like, yo, you hold him and I'll hit him. Oh, he's moved out of the way and you've hit me. They did that twice. The ref kept telling Goldust to calm down. So much that they over-egged the pudding. And then when he threw the match out, the ref didn't actually throw the match out. The timekeeper just decided, this was shite. I hated it.
Timekeeper went on board of this shit.
Oh, fucking get it over with.
Get gone. Mero tries to pull Goldust away. Goldie ends up punching Mero. But Mero doesn't respond with a punch of his own.
Yeah, so you've got Mero looking like an absolute fucking geek as well. Jerry Lawler's in this match and piss off Gerald. I don't care if you're Lovely Gerald or
Lovely
Horrible Jerry.
Gerald.
He's done nothing wrong. No, really didn't like this. No. What about you, Tom? How did you feel?
No, I thought it was shite. I thought it was a terrible start. It was, as you say, all stalling. And my one wrestling match contained less stalling than that.
Yeah.
And I thought my match was one of the dirt worst. And then I saw that. I went, actually, I feel a bit better now.
And that's a match featuring at least three Hall of Famers.
Three Hall of Famers. And this, and the one on Raw as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a great start to Raw. These I feel like Jerry Lawler put this match together.
Definitely.
At his pace.
Him and Bill Dundee in the back. Just like, oh.
Oh, stall for another 5 minutes.
We'll get him. We've got him right there, son.
Fucking wrestling edging. It's horrible. We get an interview with Psycho Sid, the WWF champion, in the Alamo Dome. Hey, Paul Levesque, meet me at the Alamo.
High noon.
High noon at the Alamo.
Rick and bottom.
Sid is in the center of a very fucking echoey Alamo Dome. And he says, 300 years ago, I'm already there. 300 years ago, a great German philosopher said, in the act of fighting monsters, be sure you don't become a monster yourself. Fucking yes, Sid.
And I heard that and went, has he quoted Friedrich Nietzsche?
He quoted Nietzsche.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, because the next line's, yeah, stare too long into the void and the void stares back. I was like, Jesus, Sid, yeah, okay, I'm on board. Yeah, let's go.
He says he'll have to become a monster to become champ, as will Shawn Michaels. He says when he has Shawn by the throat, the look Sid will give him will be obvious.
Mm.
Okay, we're doing well. Mm. At ringside, your mother and Jose Lothario, they will know that look too. That look will say it all. Sid stood in the center of the Alamo Dome, echoing around the halls. I thought this was, despite a few little off-pieced moments, I thought this was great.
I thought this was really good as well, yeah. Like you said, the presentation, the echo of it was fantastic. The fact you got Sid quoting Nietzsche is amazing. And because there was no crowd there, we could hear him as he was whispering, which made a difference. And I also like the fact he turned the hometown advantage thing on its head, because usually it's like, oh, all his friends are cheering him on. But Sid's like, doesn't matter. They're just going to watch you get killed. And I was like, okay, this is a good Sid promo. Who would have thunk it?
Leaning into the fact that you think it's terrible that I'm in front of your crowd, but it's brilliant. They're all good. Yeah. They're all good. Atkins just said, they're all going to watch you die.
Yeah, I really like this. Yeah.
We go to Park Place in San Antonio to chat with Shawn Michaels. He's surrounded by very excited fans. We get a recap of Survivor Series and last Monday night on Raw. And Shawn says Sid has brought out the monster in him and he's going to kick Sid in the teeth in Texas. Shawn says he's a man, he's all man and a yard wide. He means his penis. And the Alamo Dome is going to be where Sid becomes the most unpopular man in town. You can be the master and ruler all you want, darling, but you won't be WWF champion. He tells Sid he'll find his teeth in his stool sample the next day.
And in the words of Kierkegaard, fuck off. Yeah, good as well. I like the fact he didn't go for the kind of like meek babyface trope. He was like, nah, do you know what? I'm going to have a dirty fight. Yeah, I've proved in the past I can be a bellend. I'm going to make you shit your own teeth. I was like, yeah, mate, go ahead.
Vince tries to make it a bit of what you said there.
Yeah.
Because he says, oh, Shawn, what if you let Texas down?
And then Shawn Michaels, man who's never told a lie, I don't let people down.
He says he's taken the pressure on his shoulders for a long time as the leader of the new generation. He's going to kick teeth down the throat, etc., etc. But no, I thought this was good stuff by Shawn.
Yeah, it was. And there was a lot of very excited women rubbing his chest the whole time as well.
I think he had a lovely time with his promo.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Brett is out limping after the attack on Superstars by Steve Austin. He's very grumpy.
And he's dressed like a fancy barman as well.
He does look like a fancy barman. We cut back to Shawn at Park Place. He's having some beers with his fans now, which is lovely. I'm sure Shawn loved that. Recap of Superstars from 2 weeks ago where he cost Austin that handicap match. And also we got told about the Pillmanizing from last night as well. Brett is on commentary for the following match, which is his brother-in-law, British Bulldog, against Rocky Maivia.
Here we go.
Bulldog's back!
3 years before Poop Mania, like you said.
Yeah, we're setting it up nicely here. Rocky has Rocky chants in his music. Yeah, because they've done that with Mercedes Monet.
Yeah.
Because she has CEO chants in her music. And yeah. I don't know if I like it.
I just think back to Lex Luger of the USA music as well.
Yeah, she had USA at the start, didn't he?
Yeah.
Were there others that had chants at the start or had chants put in? Did Goldberg have Goldberg chants piped?
That's always been the urban legend, hasn't it? But I'm pretty sure they were legit as well. That may be the one time of it working, definitely. But this one, I was like, oh, who's chanting Rocky here? Not me.
Not me, that's for sure. Yeah. We get footage of a disagreement between Mabel and Sable from Superstars. Mm. Honky stalks Sable and Rocky saves her, as we saw. And this has kind of planted some seeds for maybe a Rocky-Mero match down the line. Mm. Rocky takes the early lead with some lovely hip tosses as Bret Hart continues wanking him off.
I was going to say, before the hip tosses, though, the very first thing he did, because it made me piss, Davey goes up to Rock, shoves him over, turns around, lifts his arm, goes, yeah, fucking great, mate.
Yes! I forgot to write that bit in.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Who are you? Rock who? You'll never be head of the company.
No, but Bret sees something in him, like you said.
Bret loves him. Bret is a big fan. Bulldog gets annoyed with Rocky outclassing him, and he goes, fuck this, I'm off.
I'm going home.
He's cheating, Dad. He's cheating.
He's cheating.
Clarence Mason, however, does convince him not to. And come back here and have, go back in there and have a fight, you. Honky Top Man reassures Bret Hart on commentary that he is still on his shortlist to manage him, which Bret finds hilarious.
He's like, yeah. I mean, Bret Hart's not comfortable on the mic anyway, but when he's trying to be polite and say to Honky Top Man, no, I'm not preparing to commit career suicide here. Nah, I'm all right. Thanks, mate.
Out comes Owen Hart, slammy in hand and circling the ring. Bret wants Owen to leave him alone after a harmonious Christmas together.
We just got done celebrating a lovely Christmas. I like the fact that Owen's just stood there staring at him like, yeah, what?
So he basically, Owen turns up, he slams his slammy down in front of Bret and then does the pose that everyone does when they win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Where you have your arms crossed and you're just staring ahead. And he just stares at Bret as we go to break.
And I really liked it because it was weird, but it was also like, it made a difference from usual wrestling, whereas either he'd, you know, be, as we know from Owen Hart, he's a slippery little weasel, isn't he? He's either distracting the ref or tripping people up or starting a fight, or he'd be, you know, usually out there to kind of like piss Bret off, but now he's just staring him down, just like, make a move. Go on, make a move, mate.
Do something. Like, yeah. Do something. I fucking dare you. I fucking dare you. After the break, Bulldog is beating up on Rocky Maivia. Owen's still staring at Bret. Rocky gets a near fall off a sunset flip, but Bulldog puts him back down with a big old clothesline. That short clothesline that Bulldog does where he lifts his arm at the end like he's hailing a taxi.
Davey line.
Davey line.
Ring now to find out all about what I've been up to. 1-800 Bulldog. Davey line.
Call me, Davey line. We don't know what I had for dinner. What's Davey's shoe size? Call now, Davey line. 0898-448-72435 and then press hashtag.
Question of the day. Do I wear boxers or briefs? Depends if I've pooed.
Hey, if you want to know what it is today, whether it's poo or not, you call the Davey line. Call the Davey line now, and we will tell you. We used to be down and out. Now we're up and over. Davey line, call us now. Come and find out what our Tom had on his toast this morning. Don't fucking tell him, Dave. We'll tell him. All Davey line, call now.
If you're paid in cash, make sure them coins are cleaned or I'll be for it.
Dave, shut up. I'm trying to watch the snooker. Sorry, I'll go in the other room. Call the Davey line now.
I just like the fact of him dancing the whole time.
in front of a really bad green screen.
He's got one of those old like Phil Collins drummer microphones as well.
And they're really like, they're really over-optimized.
Call me, Davey, now. There we go. Do you want to hear all my plosives?
What does Davey have in his fridge? If you want to know, you call Davey line 0898-428-4965-3092. Call Davey line.
Cost a pound. A minute.
Call about a quid a minute. Make sure you ask our Tom's permission before calling.
Yeah.
But you'll have to call him to find out. But that's a catch-22.
But yeah, because if you do manage to call him, he'll probably find you and hate you. So,
yeah, he doesn't like using the phone because he says the government is evil and they're tracking him on the phone.
Exactly, yeah.
And plus, he can't really call from a postbox because he's shot all of the ones in the streets.
Catch him in Bookies. He's all right in there.
Just go to Bookies about 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. He'll be in there putting something on the horses. If he's won, he'll be much happier by 5 o'clock.
He might be half cut, but he'll be your friend.
He'll be in the Gun Tavern at about 9.
Bring a kebab.
And then call TV Line.
So Owen remains staring.
Owen's there.
Yeah, he's still staring Brett out as well.
Brett's trying to ignore Owen as Vince prods him about it. Rocky lands a gorgeous crossbody, but then immediately eats a gorgeous suplex from Bulldog after.
And then Bulldog on one knee, to Brett going, yeah, look at me big guns, fuck off.
Hey, Brett, look at them. Remember Wembley? Yes, Dave, I remember Wembley.
It was good, that, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was good. Do you remember it? Yeah. What happened? I can't remember.
Folks.
I thought Lennox Lewis was there, apparently. That was exciting. Yeah. Rocky starts Maya veering up, and both men go out the ring from a clothesline. Here comes Steve Austin to clip Bulldog's leg and hit him with a stunner. Owen and Brett chase him off, and it leaves Rocky barely back in the ring to win the match by countout. Whey!
He's done the impossible. He's got a win over our Dave. It's interesting that Brett and Owen seem to have a common enemy in Steve Austin, almost like some kind of heart alliance, maybe.
Oh, the hatred for Steve Austin will bring the brothers back together.
But as we were saying before, this current incarnation of Austin is just some feral bastard who's crippling everyone en route to the Rumble. Really like it, yeah.
Nation of Domination backstage. Every man for himself in the Rumble, but Farouk disagrees. Farouk says the Nation of Domination will stay together, even in the Rumble. And then Crush promises in our main event he will beat The Undertaker by any means necessary. We then get a shot of Shawn Michaels live having a party in San Antonio. Did you see who else was there?
No.
Right? I hope someone got fired for this blunder. Shawn Michaels party with all the fans in San Antonio. In the midst of all the fans, you see, fully dressed, having a drink, having a laugh, Rocky Maivia. He moves quick.
I was distracted because there was a fella who looked a bit like Curly Watts from Coronation Street in a coat. I was like, aye, aye, Curly.
If you watch it back and look beyond Curly, you see Rocky. And even Vince McMahon, I think it's so obvious, Vince even goes, oh, there's Rocky Maivia.
He's a fast mover.
He ran to that party the moment the match finished. He got dressed whilst running.
He's so athletic, he ran to Texas.
Well, there you go. Hope someone got fired for that blunder. Yeah. The Undertaker and Crush is our main event of the evening. The first time they have fought since a series of casket matches on the 1994 European Tour.
Very nice. Is that coincided with the... Oh, no, it's... Crush against fake Undertaker, wasn't it? In a Bollywood movie set in Toronto where Crush gets his neck broken. Yeah.
That
fantastic.
Was a lovely little bit of business, that was.
I hope everyone got paid well.
I hope they did. Taker cannot be arsed to hear the full Nation rap, so he jumps out of the rig and bounces Crush off the steps.
I couldn't even hear the rap anyway, so he did us all a favour.
Taker stares down Farouk before getting the match with Crush underway. Some foreshadowing of a match that we do not want. Farouk gets involved whilst Undertaker goes for the current school to give Crush a bit of respite. Crush lands a pile driver out of nowhere.
Lovely pile driver.
Really
as well.
Lovely pile driver, nice and deep. He starts shouting at fans at ringside. He goes for a snake eyes on the barrier, but drops him. He might have actually hurt him because they flummoxed it a little bit.
Yeah.
Vader appears looking sad.
I was laughing because they did like a proper 70s kung fu zoom onto him, just hiding behind part of the Raw set. It was like that shot of Jean Valjean from Les Mis where he's looking out the window. Just like...
He had the look of somebody that had just walked into a pub where all his mates said they couldn't make it for drinks and they're all having a nice time without him.
What, like the song Army by Ben Folds 5? In June, they reformed about him and they got a different name. He's like, boogie.
That was the look that I got from Vader here.
It's like, yeah, part of the plan, lads. Yeah, mine's a bitter.
The Starburst rewind as we go to break is Austin attacking Bulldog.
Why not?
I love a Starburst.
Sell them in the shop.
I best when they were called Skittles. Remember that? That were lovely, that.
They were never called Skittles, Davey, you twat. Sorry, Tom.
They changed the name.
Find out if they did by calling Dave Line. 08-492-864-9855.
Could you guess my favourite flavour Skittle? It's red. Shit.
It's not red. Call and find out.
Yeah.
It's definitely red.
Pound a minute. Yeah.
Wait 5 minutes to hear it. Thank you very much. All the money goes straight to our shop, our big shop on Thursday.
I'm going to get just loads of packets of KP peanuts because they're lovely.
They're lovely, them. But I've got to get some washing tablets.
Yeah, because I need to wash beyond these and my coins apparently now as well.
Got to get some Calgon because Tom's fucked up our washing machine.
You big twat. No.
No, I wasn't talking to you.
Don't tell Tom I said that on Davy Line today. I don't know what I'm doing.
Call us now. 0898-10-10-10. Crush avoids a tombstone and a top rope fist in. He goes for a heart punch and Taker chokeslams him for his trouble.
We say chokeslam. This was like a Hulk Hogan level chokeslam.
Oh, Hulk Hogan Undertaker at Judgment Day 02.
Yeah, terrible chokeslam.
We've got that in about 3 weeks on the Classic SmackDown review. I am buzzing.
Bet you cannot wait.
So excited. So it was a chokeslam in name alone. The Nation hit the ring and Vader. And everyone gets the match thrown out because fuck having any proper victories on Raw tonight.
Fucking three matches, two DQs and a count out. Jesus Christ.
Vader hits two Vader bombs on The Undertaker. Ahmed attempts to save and he gets beaten up as well.
Just Farouk smashing him in the back with a plank. Stay down, you shithead. Fantastic.
Raw ends with Farouk wailing on Ahmed with his own 2x4. And we'll see you at the Rumble soon, lads.
Hey. Was this Raw or was this an episode of Nitro? Because fuck me. This... wasn't very good. Like we're saying, no clean finishes. We got the build-up to the main event scene in the Rumble. That got over very well. And the end-of-night attack by the Nation of Domination Invader, that was quite interesting, but subpar episode of TV.
Not its best. Not the sterling start to the year that we were hoping. I don't get what the company's bonk on is with Honky Tonk Man. I guess they want like an old legend on the books. Yeah. To do something, but I ain't getting it.
No.
I ain't having that shit. Bulldog and Maivia is a little bit of wrestling history curiosity, which I was happy to see.
Yeah.
I think due to, by process of elimination, the best match of the night.
Jesus Christ. Diminishing returns, isn't it?
Really diminishing returns. In ring, not a great night, but we do still continue to work towards Sean and Sid at the Alamo Dome.
Alamo Dome.
Which I believe, is it next week or the week after?
It's next week.
Next week.
Oh.
Back with a bang, with a rumble. So I'm looking forward to that one. Any thoughts that we haven't thoughted? Or your thoughts in general?
That's nice to be back. That's all I'm... Yeah. Nice to see your lovely little face as you're trying not to choke on your own spit, and I'm not trying to choke on my own tongue. So it's a return to form.
It is a fantastic return to form for the Cultaholic Classic Raw review, lads. It is, as you are hearing this, is it WrestleMania week yet? It feels like it's taken forever to get here. No, we've got another week after this, so it's nearly WrestleMania week.
Oh, God.
It'll be a time. On the podcast, what can we plug on the podcast feed? What's coming up? Debbie Keitel, Irish wrestling superstar, a big fan of her work on the indie scene and beyond. She is my guest on Desert Island Graps this week.
Fantastic.
So we have a lovely chat with Debbie Keitel. The Nitro review is back on Thursday. Again, like, apologies for the lack of consistency across the board with the classic reviews. There's been a few issues with scheduling and illness across the board.
Yeah.
So they haven't been as consistent as I'd like them to be in March, but it seems as if we're back, baby.
It's the perfect storm of it's cold season and it's also WrestleMania season. Everything goes out the fucking window, doesn't it?
It bloody well does. But we're here and we're cracking on. Anything you want to plug or shout about?
The state of my life.
And what a lovely state it is as well.
Oh, thank you. Now, just thank you to everyone who listens, as always.
Oh, and thank you, by the way, to you who listens, as Jackie Orlando just said. But also thank you if you sponsored me to do the Great North Run, because we've hit our target like 7 months early. So that's lovely. So we're raising a wonderful amount of money for the Calm Zone, the campaign against living miserably. And in return, I will now do the Great North Run. Fuck, I'll do the Great North Run. What was I thinking? This was a terrible idea. It'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine.
It'd be sound, yeah.
I might die. But that'd be hilarious. Something to tell the kids about.
You finish the Great North Run. The second you get over the finish line, you got that silver blanket on, a little medal, straight on the phone to the doctor. Doctor, can I have a prostate exam now? I've just done the Great North Run.
Does that make it worse or not? I don't know.
I feel like I need fingers up me bum.
And it's on that bombshell. He is at Brat At Kids on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. A fabulous return to form. And together we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us, lovely Gerald.
He's done nothing wrong. Couldn't remember the jingle.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.